This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
And so I have a new series, and it's going to be based on Christmas. Praise the Lord. And the title of my series is Jesus is the Reason for the Season.
Amen.
Amen. And he's really the reason for every season. Amen. Whatever season we're in, we need Jesus. How many people believe that? And I don't know about you, but I need Jesus in the good times and in the bad times. Sometimes we don't think we need Jesus in the good times, but we really need Jesus all the time. Somebody say to the neighbor, I need Jesus all the time. So we are in the Christmas season. And I believe that the devil is a master at distracting people from the real reason of Christmas. Do you believe that today? And the world wants to remove Christ out of Christmas. Have you noticed that? I was driving down the road and I saw this huge billboard. They probably spent thousands of dollars on it, advertising a grocery store. And on the billboard, it just says, Happy Holidays. And it gives the grocery store's name. I'm not going to give the name of the grocery store. It makes me not want to shop there. Because I believe as Christians, now I know I might be getting on my soapbox this morning, but as Christians, I don't believe we should be saying Happy Holidays. I believe we should be saying Merry Christmas.
Amen.
How many people believe that today? I understand Happy Holidays. You know, I know the grocery store doesn't, they don't want to be offensive, so they want to play it safe. So you play it safe, you say Happy Holidays, so you can include everybody in and not make people feel like that they don't fit in. But I'm going to say this, that Jesus is the one that said that all other ways do not lead to God. Only Jesus leads to God.
Amen.
So all the other ways don't. You know, Buddha needs to bow to Jesus.
Amen.
Muhammad needs to bow to Jesus. All these religions need to bow to Jesus. Can I get a witness in the house today? So people want to play it safe. And we sometimes as Christians want to play it safe, you know, not really reveal. Sometimes some of us, we apprehensive in revealing our faith. And the Bible says we should always give an answer for the hope that lies within us. And so this Christmas season, we should be celebrating Jesus. We should be revealing Jesus wherever we go. This is the best time of the year. Do you believe that today? To reveal who Jesus is. And you will be surprised how many people. I was getting my car washed last night and the attendant was there. I said, do you know what the true meaning of Jesus or the true meaning of Christmas is? And he said, no, he didn't even really know. And I said, you know, it's Jesus. And he never grew up going to church. There are so many people out here that don't know. But thank God that we know.
Amen.
Somebody say, I know.
I know.
I know who I serve. Amen. Amen. And I love that. So if you're going to walk with Jesus, if you're going to be a shining light this Christmas, you cannot play it safe. You're going to have to take a risk. You're going to have to stand out and be a light to this dark and world that we live in. Jesus is, he is inclusive and exclusive at the same time. Do you believe that today? Jesus is inclusive because he includes everybody who wants to come to him. He's inclusive. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is inclusive. He includes the whole world to come to him. Do you believe that today? I like what it says in Revelation 21:6. It says, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give you the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. I love that. That's another scripture talking about salvation. Jesus is saying, I'll give you the fountain of life if you thirst. How many are thirsty for God in the house today?
Amen.
How many are thirsty for him? You got to stay thirsty. You got to stay hungry for God. So Jesus is inclusive, but Jesus is exclusive. Because he's the only way. So Jesus is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this Christmas season, I want to encourage you. This is the appetizer. This is not my message this morning. I had to give you an appetizer, amen. Something just to taste a little good before you get the main course. But I'm going to say this, that we, this Christmas season, we need to be bold about our faith and not be afraid of offending people by saying Merry Christmas. Amen. That's the reason why I have a nativity scene in front of my house. I set that nativity scene up because there was a time a few years ago where some government officials and some government offices, they had nativity scenes, they were making them take it down because they were trying to separate church from government. And I'm going to say this, you can never separate Jesus from our government. We need to be praying for our government. Amen. And I'm telling you, we should have nativity scenes set up. We should have the Ten Commandments in every school. Glory to God. Man, I'm on my soapbox this morning. Hallelujah. We need to be proclaiming Jesus from the rooftops. Hallelujah. So I want to focus on the title of my series is Jesus is the Reason. In other words, Jesus is the reason for all seasons. And so I want to focus why Jesus has really mainly come to this earth. And there's three reasons. There's more than these three. But the first reason Jesus came to this earth was to fulfill all the Old Testament prophecies. Number two, he came to reveal the Father. And number three, he came to redeem mankind. But I want to focus this morning on the first key, that he came to fulfill all the prophecies that was spoken of him in the Old Testament. In Hebrews 10, verse 7, it says, "Then I said, behold, here I am coming to do your will, O God, to fulfill what is written in me in the volume of the book." So Jesus came, and this is powerful because some people say, well, how do you know that Jesus is the real deal and Muhammad is not, or Buddha is not? Because of the prophetic scriptures that was written about him thousands of years before they came to pass. Amen. And they came to pass. Amen. Amen. And so really, there were over 300 prophecies, and that makes the Bible relevant, and that makes the Bible true, and that there's over 300 prophecies predicting Jesus, talking about Jesus, and the chance of Jesus even fulfilling 8 of those prophecies is 1 in the 10-17 power. And so that's 1 in 100 trillion. It's so many zeros here. I think it's a trillion. It could be a quadrillion. For any person to fulfill all the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled in the Old Testament, that's powerful. That's something to be excited about. We should know some of these things because some people, they don't believe in Jesus, but do you believe the prophetic words? Glory to God. And I love this because God reveals things in the future. Has God ever revealed anything to you that was going to come to pass? Has God ever showed you something in the future? I remember a couple seasons ago, the Lord told my wife who was going to be the next president. We didn't know who was going to be the president. This was for 2020. And the Lord spoke to her and told her, I said, can you ask God to give me the lottery ticket numbers? No. But I'm kidding, but she knew for a fact who was going to be the next president. God can show you things to come. The Bible says he will show you secret things you know not of if you fear him. How many people have a reverential fear of God in the room today? And if you fear God, he will show you things to come. This is a powerful scripture on how powerful God is. In Isaiah 44, talking about prediction. In Isaiah 44, 6 through 8, it says, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Notice that. Who can proclaim as I do? This is powerful God that we serve. Then let him declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come. Underline that. And the things that are coming and shall come. Let them show these to them. Do not fear nor be afraid. I not told you from time and declare it. You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. I'm telling you, God is the all-knowing one. If there was somebody greater than God in the universe, he would know. He is the rock. He's the immovable rock that we serve. He's the one that can reveal truth and show things ahead of time. He can reveal your future, and he knows your future better than you know your past. And I'm going to say this to you this morning. You might have a rocky road right now. You might be going through some things that aren't too good. But God has a good future for you. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Whatever rocky road you might be on, God can work it out. Do you believe that today? Somebody say, he's working it out. He's working it for my good. Amen. The Bible says that he's working all things out for good to those that love him and called according to his purposes. Somebody say, I'm called. Amen. You're called according to his purpose. And we serve the mighty God. In Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, it says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. This is powerful. Because some people may say, how do you know God's word is true? How do you know God is real? Just look at Israel. Because Israel was a nation that was disbanded and dispersed all across the world. And the Bible declared that God was going to bring Israel back to their own country. And it happened. It was the impossible. But God does the impossible. Just looking at Israel is a testimony that God is real. Do you believe that today? So my subtitle on my message is Jesus, the Portrait of the Bible. When you think of a portrait or doing a portrait, you sit in front of an artist, and the artist will paint a picture of your likeness on a canvas. Has anybody ever had a portrait done in the house? Glory to God. And some of you are artists, and some of you can probably do portraits in here. I know James Johnson's the good artist, amen. He likes to paint cars, hallelujah. But he can do portraits too. I believe he's done some in the past. No, you have? Maybe. Okay, maybe not. But don't ask him to do a portrait then, amen. But the Bible is a portrait of Jesus. And really, it all goes with the prophecies. And the prophecies talk about Jesus. This is powerful. In Genesis 3, 14 through 15, let me set this up for you. God just, he's pronouncing judgment because Adam and Eve sinned. They partook of the fruit, of the forbidden fruit, of the knowledge of good and evil. And so God is pronouncing judgment. And in his judgment, he's given a prophetic saying. And so the first person that he judges is the devil. And he says in Genesis 3, 14 through 15, so the Lord said to the serpent, dropping down to verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So we see the devil has seed, people that follow the devil knowingly or unknowingly, and God has seed, people that follow him through Jesus Christ. So you have the seed of the devil, which are people that aren't with God, and people that are unknowingly, they're running their own game. They don't have Jesus in their life. They're unknowingly following Satan. But you got people like us following Jesus. So there's two sides, God's side and the devil's side. Say, I'm on God's side. And you better stay on God's side. Amen. Stay on God's side. Don't switch teams on me. Amen. So we're talking about this. And so here in this prophetic saying, this seed is really talking about the devil and Jesus. Notice the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. And so we know this, that women don't have seed, they have eggs. But Mary, when she said, when the angel came to her and said that you will conceive in your womb a child, the Son of God, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And when Mary said, according to your word, let it be done unto me, she received the seed of the word of the angel. And when she received that seed was Jesus in dormant state. And when she said, let it be done unto me, God's word is seed and it will grow. And Jesus is the word of God made flesh, and his flesh was made so that he could have a body, so he could live down here a perfect life, live a sinless life, reveal the Father, and redeem mankind. Praise God. And so we see this, the seed of the woman would bruise the head. Jesus came to crush the head of Satan in this world that we live in. Let's look at a parallel scripture here, because this is what Jesus came to do, to bruise the head of the serpent. It says in John 3:8, whoever sins belongs to the devil, because the devil has sinned from the beginning. But this part I want to focus on. Indeed, the Son of God was revealed to destroy the works of the devil. So we see here in the second part of these scriptures is that God, that the Son of God, Jesus, was revealed to crush Satan's head, to bruise his head, or to undo his works. I'm going to say this to you today. Jesus is living on the inside of each one of you. And you are designed to undo the works of the devil in your life and in the life of your families. Amen. Say, greater, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so you are here to enforce the devil's defeat. I'm going to say this. You're not being defeated by the devil. You are triumphant over him. Amen. Do you believe that today? I believe I got some amen people in the crowd today. Amen. So you're called to bruise the head of Satan and to undo his works. Jesus, notice it said Jesus healed was bruised by Satan. I don't like that. I don't like Jesus being hurt anyway. When I think, man, Jesus is healed. Man, the devil got a little bit. See, the devil will try to get a little bit of us. He will try to hurt us. He will try to hurt us any way he can. And we see here that Jesus' heel was bruised. And I believe this is talking about that Jesus allowed the devil to put him on the cross. He allowed the devil to whip him through those wicked people. He allowed the devil to crucify him. And he allowed it. I'm going to say it again. He allowed it. He didn't submit to the devil. He just allowed it because he had the power to call 10,000 angels. He had the power to usher in a legion of angels, and they could have came in and wiped out this world. Then it would have been just God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But that's not the way God wanted it. God wanted us with him. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, God loves you so much. You got to get a revelation of God's love. This Christmas season, you got to get a revelation of what God did for you through Jesus Christ. When you get a revelation of that, you're going to get happy. You're going to bring the Mary back in Merry Christmas. You're going to bring the joy back into your lives. You got to remember what Jesus has done for you. Has anyone in here ever been in a pit? Have anybody ever been in a tight spot in here? Have you ever been, has your back ever been against the wall? Has Jesus gotten you out of it? Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, He's gotten me out of some pickles. He's gotten me out of some tough spots. He's gotten me out of it when it looked like there was no way. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see here that Jesus' heel was bruised. In Isaiah 53:5, this is a prophetic word. It says, "But," and I believe it's connected with Jesus' heel being bruised. In Isaiah 53:5, it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Notice Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. Jesus' heel was bruised. Why? So that we could have right standing with God the Father. So that we could have forgiveness. So that we could have the gift of righteousness. You are in right standing with God because of the stripes of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus. That's something to get excited about. Some of us need to get excited this morning. Amen. And I love that Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. Amen. Now I want to reveal to you that the Bible gives glimpses of Jesus all through the Bible. One of my favorite stories in the Bible or accounts in the Bible is really, it's about the first murder in the Bible. You know, there was the first murder in the Bible. And this was between two brothers, Cain and Abel. It's terrible, and it's an indictment that we as people, and you'll find even murders will happen a lot of times in families. Families, why? Because you're the closest in your family to others, and who will hurt you the most? Family members. So you have this setup where you have Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, 3 and 10. And let me, I don't want to read this, but I just want to talk about it this morning. And we know this, that Cain and Abel, it says in a certain amount of time, they brought an offering unto God. In other words, it was expected and it was handed down by their parents to give offerings to God. And so Cain gave an offering and Abel gave the firstlings of his flock and the best portions thereof. So Cain gave an offering and Abel gave an offering, but a better offering, a blood sacrifice offering. And the Bible says that God had respect for Abel's offering. God blessed Abel, but Cain, he didn't respect his offering. So you could say this, that Abel got blessed and Cain didn't get anything. And Cain was upset about this. And he was jealous of Abel because of the blessing of God on Abel. And the Bible said that God spoke to Cain and said, "You're angry with your brother." You know, God will speak to you. You know, if you're upset with somebody, God will speak to you. You know, if you got problems with some relationships in your life, God will speak to you. And he will try to get you to forgive and forget, to release and to let go. And a lot of times we don't want to forgive and forget. We don't want to release and let go. But I'm going to say let go and let God. And let God clean up the mess. You can't control how people treat you, but you can control how you treat them. Oh, I'm going somewhere. You cannot control how people treat you, but you can control how you treat them. And the Bible says, love those that despitefully use you. Feed them, glory to God. Amen. Be a blessing to people, amen. And so Cain had an anger issue with his brother Abel. And we know this, that Cain allowed his anger, his jealousy to turn into murder. And then he planned it out and killed Abel. And the Bible says that Abel's blood spoke from the ground. And this is a whole foreshadowing of what Jesus went through. Because Cain was hated. Because Cain hated Abel because the favor of God was on Abel's life. Cain murdered his brother because he was jealous of Abel. And Cain's blood speaks from the ground. And what his blood spoke was judgment. So Cain's blood spoke judgment. But you have a parallel here. You have Jesus. Jesus was hated by the religious people of that day because God favored Jesus. Jesus would have bigger crowds than the Pharisees. People loved Jesus more than the Pharisees. They were jealous of Jesus. The religious people and the Pharisees had Jesus killed because they were jealous of him and because Jesus was breaking God's Sabbath laws that they thought, and Jesus was claiming to be God. So these were some of the reasons why the Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus. They didn't like Jesus. In John 5, 15 through 18, it says, "The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, 'My Father had been working until now, and I have been working.' Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because not only did he break the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal to God." So these people hated Jesus. They were supposed to be Jesus' brothers in God. In other words, they were supposed to love God. And they didn't really love God. The love of God was not in their hearts. They had religion, but they had no relationship. You can have religion. You can cross the T's, dot the I's of religion, but it will still not get you where you need to go in God. Religion won't get you there. Relationship will. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. And so we see here that the Pharisees, it's a civilization. And then it says here that Abel's blood spoke from the ground, judgment. But Jesus' blood cries out today. Do you know that Jesus' blood speaks today? Do you know that his blood was placed on the mercy seat in heaven? Do you know that his blood is speaking out mercy and forgiveness and redemption for all of mankind? Do you know it's not speaking out judgment? It's speaking out mercy. Somebody say, "I'm under God's mercy." That's good. I'm under God's grace. Mercy is getting what you don't deserve. Do you know we all deserve hell, but we get heaven? Amen. Why? Because Jesus paid the price and we accepted him as our Lord and Savior. I love that. I love what it says, talking about the blood of Jesus, talking about being on the mercy seat of heaven. It says in Hebrews 12, 24, it says, "So Jesus is a mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood sprinkling that speaks better things than Abel." So Jesus' blood speaks better things than Abel. Abel's blood, again, spoke judgment, but Jesus' blood speaks mercy. I'm going to say this to you this morning. God prefers to give us mercy over judgment.
Amen. Amen.
That's good news this morning. God prefers to give us mercy over judgment. Remember the lady caught in adultery? She deserved judgment. Of course, the guy wasn't there, but she deserved judgment. He deserved judgment too, wherever that guy was at. Amen. It was a setup. Can somebody say a setup? Amen. The devil wants to set some of us up for a fall. Amen. And so what did Jesus give the lady that was an adulterer? Mercy instead of judgment. Amen. I love what it says in James 2, 13. "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Somebody say, "I'm a merciful person." You need to be merciful people, because that's what our Father is. That's what our Lord and Savior is, a merciful person. Now let's look at some old prophecies that Jesus fulfilled that will fulfill in the future. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." I love that because Emmanuel means God with us. Somebody say, God with me. God is with you this morning, no matter what you are dealing with. Amen? I love that because you don't have to ride the storm by yourself in your boat. Jesus can ride the storm with you in the boat and get you to the other side. Do you believe that today? And I love this because it says, a virgin shall conceive. In Luke 1, 26 to 33, it says, now the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Notice it said the virgin's name was Mary. Glory to God. And having come to the angel, he said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. I'm going to say this to you this morning. You are highly favored because you have Jesus in your boats. Somebody say, I'm a highly favored one. And it says, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Powerful. I love this. Amen. Because God can move in just the ordinary. See, Mary was an ordinary person. She wasn't anybody this spectacular person. She didn't come from prominence. She didn't come from a wealthy background. She was an average, ordinary person, but she loved God. And I'm going to say this, that if you can be average and God can put his blessings on the average, he can put his blessings on the ordinary, and he can make you extraordinary. Do you believe that today? Say, he's making me extraordinary. I love that. And so the second scripture I want to focus on is Micah 5:2. This is the Amplified Classic. It says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrah, you are little to be among the clans of Judah, yet out of you shall one come forth for me, who is to be a ruler of Israel, whose going forth has been from of old and from the ancient of days. Now, you might get lost from me reading this, but this is just saying that Jesus has come from the tribe of Judah and that he has always existed. I'm just breaking it down. Jesus has come from the tribe of Judah. You see, Jesus is a priest, likened to Melchizedek. And Jesus is a priest, but most priests come from the tribe of Levi. That was when the priest came from, that God instituted the priesthood through Levi. But Jesus came through Judah. Why? Because Judah was what it means, praise. And so Jesus comes through praise. And I'm going to say this, if you want to see Jesus in your life, you better start praising him. Amen. If you want to see Jesus real in your life, you better start praising him. He came through Judah, the nation of praise, glory to God. So Jesus is the eternal one, always existed with the Father, the Holy Spirit. Some false religions will try to tell you Jesus was created, and Jesus is the brother of Lucifer. Jesus was not an angel. Lucifer was an angel. Amen. Jesus is the God in flesh. He is incarnate. He is the Son of God. He is the eternal one. Amen. I love this because we know that Jesus always existed because he reveals it in the scriptures. Some will say, well, Jesus never claimed that he was God. Well, this scripture reveals that he did. Amen. That's what some proponents of Jesus would say. And in John 8, 57 through 58, then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. Think about that. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And what is the name of God? What did God say his name was? when he presented himself to Moses, he said, tell him, I am. In other words, God is whatever you need him to be at the moment you need him to be it. He's your deliverer. He's your soon coming king. He's your restorer. He's the one that blesses you. Amen. He is. And Jesus said, I am. A prophecy that Jesus attributes the coming reign. I love this. And I can't talk about Jesus unless I talk about this scripture here in Isaiah. It says in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice, from this time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, when we read this, right now, at this particular time, the government is not on his shoulders, but Jesus is coming back to set up, and there's going to be a new sheriff in town pretty soon. And Jesus doesn't have to be voted in. Amen. We don't have to vote for Jesus, because he's already established as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Almighty One. Forever and ever and ever. Amen. I love that. I love what it says in Hosea 11:1. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called him my son. This is another prophetic message here. The prophecy was written by Hosea approximately 800 years before Christ was born. This verse looks back and forward, remembering the Israelites who were enslaved to the Egyptians, and God brought them out, remembering that Joseph and Mary fled to Egypt with the baby Jesus to avoid the slaughter by Herod. This verse can apply to both those situations. However, it refers to Matthew and his writings, glory to God. So in Matthew 2, 14 and 15, it said that the Lord revealed to Joseph in a dream, because Herod wanted to kill Jesus to take the child to Egypt. In other words, another prophecy fulfilled. God knows the beginning more than you, or he knows the end more than you know the beginning. Amen? I love that. The Old Testament predicts Jesus' death. I love that. And one of the main psalms in the Bible predicting Jesus' death is in Psalms 22. And it says in Psalms 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus spoke this on the cross when he was being crucified. In Psalms 27, 7 through 8, it says, who see me, they mock me. They hear all insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. They say, let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver them, since he delights in him. And so this is a whole synopsis of the crucifixion of Jesus. And it's all comes into Matthew 27, 46, talking about, my God, why have you forsaken me? Matthew 27, 39, and Mark 15, 29, they mocked him and hurled insults at him. Matthew 27, 41 to 43, they shouted, and he trusts in the Lord, let the Lord save him. They nailed him to the cross, pierced his hands and feet. Matthew 27, 35, they divided his clothes and cast lots at him. Matthew 27, 35, Mark 15, 24, and Luke 23, 34. What am I saying to you this morning? Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament. And I'm telling you, just that alone should get you excited that our God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's been doing in our lives. God has set Jesus' life up for victory. And I'm going to say this, God's setting your life up for victory no matter what it looks like. Do you believe that today? So Jesus fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies. This is a powerful argument of the validity of Jesus being who the Scripture says he is, as God in the flesh and the Savior of the world. I want to read a poem to you as I close out this morning. And it's by a book called The Miracle of the Scarlet Thread by Richard Booker. If you've never read that book, I want to encourage you to get your hands on that book. It will give you a revelation of who Jesus is in a greater way. And it talks about the miracle of the scarlet thread, talking about Jesus is weaved all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament. And so I love this, and I want to read this poem to you. I'm not a poet, but I'm going to try to be one this morning. It says here, I find my Lord in the Bible wherever I chance to look. He is the theme of the Bible, the center and the heart of the book. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the lily fair. Wherever I open my Bible, the Lord of the book is there. He is at the book's beginning, gave to the earth its form. He is the ark of the shelter, bearing the brunt of the storm. The burning bush of the desert, the budding of Aaron's rod. Wherever I look in the Bible, I see the Son of God. The ram upon Mount Moriah, the ladder from the earth to sky. The scarlet cord in the window, and the serpent lifted high. The smitten rock in the desert, the shepherd with staff and crook. The face of my Lord I discover whenever I open the book. He's the seed of the woman, the Savior virgin born. He's the son of David, whom men rejected with scorn. His garments are grace and beauty, the stately Aaron's deck. Yet he is a priest forever, for he is Melchizedek. Lord is eternal glory, whom John the apostle saw. Light of the golden city, lamb without spot or flaw. Bridegroom coming at midnight, from whom the virgins look. Whenever I open the Bible, I find him in the book. Amen. Glory to God. Powerful, isn't it? Amen. So we can see that Jesus is the theme of the Bible. So as I close the service today, I want you to be aware that Jesus is the reason for the season. It's all about Jesus, his miracle birth, his miracle life, his miracle resurrection, and his miracle restoration. I want to encourage you to reveal Jesus' love this Christmas season to people that you come in contact with. Remember, don't say happy holidays. Say Merry Christmas and proclaim the grace and the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you receive it this morning? Praise God. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you that there is a reason for us to be here, and that reason is for us to reveal the love of Jesus to everyone we meet. Father, we thank you for those that are listening, those that are watching, and perhaps you've never bowed your knee to Jesus. Well, this is the season to do it. You may not have another chance, so I want to encourage you to pray this simple prayer to invite Jesus as King in your life. Just say this simple prayer and mean in your heart. Say, Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.